On BYUSN, a big one tomorrow for number 11 Cougar football as they take on UCF. What's on the line for undefeated Brigham tomorrow? Plus, which teams need to win, which teams need to lose for the Cougars in the Big 12 title race? We bring back the Rootables.
Former BYU and NFL defensive back Derwin Gray explains how the BYU defense can actually slow down one of the best running offenses in the entire country. He's ready to inspire and motivate. And former BYU running back Lopini Katoa knows a thing or two about making big plays in Florida. He's this week's Big 12 Pick'em special guest. Let's go.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, October 25th. We leave the seat open for Elijah Bryant, or otherwise. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is Hogwarts Express conductor Spencer Linton, live from FBC Mortgage Stadium in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Spence?
Choo-choo, baby. And listen, Dumbledore's hype train has indeed made a stop in Orlando. And with a message from the professor, no less, Jerem, he said something to the effect of, Kalani, it is up to you to decide your team's destiny.
Dumbledore's on board. I like it.
He is literally on board on his own hype train. But I've learned some things about FBC Mortgage Stadium this morning and talking with some UCF people. Official capacity, 44,206, Jerem. But the history of the nickname, the Bounce House, was because back in 2007, the stadium was shaking so much that they had to come in and stabilize it after the 07 season. It was not safe.
The camera would bounce.
Some things.
Yeah.
Crazy. That bounce still exists. If you're up in the press box behind me, you can still feel it shake when it gets rocking in this place. So it's very much a literal nickname, the Bounce House. And it's going to get an upgrade. We're going to go end zone to end zone press box that goes under construction at the end of this season. It'll be in play by 2026. So some big things happening at UCF. But I got such a kick out of that the students were so rowdy that they had to bring in the engineers, the structural engineers, to make this place safe again in 07.
Yeah, fire the original ones. What is that? Come on. Speaking of upgrade, how about in EA Sports college football game that the 96 throwbacks are a part of the game now? That's pretty cool that we saw at the Kansas State game.
Outstanding. Yeah, Lavelle Edwards Stadium was shaking in its own right when the Cougars ran out of the tunnel in those amazing throwback uniforms. I would love at some point to see those uniforms make a return this season. Maybe in a potential Big 12 title game in Dallas. Maybe in the Cougars bowl game, wherever it is. The Pop-Tarts Bowl has been a fun potential destination. But frankly, right now, that would seem like a disappointment.
BYU's aiming higher.
BYU's in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yep.
Yes.
Just Dave McCann can keep eating his Pop-Tarts, which Pop-Tarts sent him something, apparently. That's awesome. I'm going to act like I haven't eaten them ever, too, so I can get a free box. All rise and shout. Yep. It's time for What's Trending.
Defense absolutely shut down Kansas State. Kutzloff had to be great last week against Oklahoma State. Very few teams in the country playing better complementary football.
Now you play UCF.
UCF is very one-dimensional.
You don't want to let their downhill running game get started on you.
Who just can't give up those big explosive runs. They could go out there and honestly dominate this football game.
We shall see. It's number 11 BYU. It's UCF on a four-game losing streak, 3-4, but still, this is a good UCF team, who is a 2 to 2.5 point favorite over undefeated Brigham. So there's a lot on the line. Let's discuss whether something is on the line in a couple of ways. Here we go. First, an appearance in the Big 12 championship game. Is that on the line with the game tomorrow against UCF?
Not technically, Jerem, but clearly the path to a Big 12 championship game experience and opportunity for BYU gets a lot rockier if BYU does not win in Orlando tomorrow. Specifically, BYU would lose the big momentum. And the idea of losing all of that positive momentum going into a bye week and a bye week before you have to go to Salt Lake City and play Utah on November 9th would be an absolute gut punch, because the pressure ramps up for BYU to now really kind of feel like they have to win that game at Utah, and that is asking a lot because that place is going to be an absolute hornet's nest. So BYU, I believe they need to win at least one of the next two games, whether it's at UCF or at Utah, to feel like they're in a good place to be in Dallas playing for that Big 12 championship game against whoever, whether it's Iowa State or Colorado or a rematch with Kansas State. BYU just needs to win one of the next two very tough road games to be 8-1 going into the back three. And frankly, it's not that BYU couldn't be 9-0, that they couldn't figure out a way to win both of these road games, but certainly you have to win at least one of the next two to feel like that title race and that title game appearance is still in play. How do you see it?
If you told me BYU had to lose one of the next two, I say tomorrow. But you don't, by the way. You don't. I'm just saying. But if you had to, give me the win at Utah versus the win at UCF. But I don't want two losses. Okay, there are three scenarios there. The worst, of course, is that BYU loses bye week, loses again. This team is veteran and explosive, has increasingly found the run game at a higher clip. I feel like BYU's in a good spot. I like BYU tomorrow, but yeah, big picture, Big 12 title game, no. One loss total probably gets you into the Big 12 title game. Obviously, undefeated gets you in there. There's two undefeated teams. There's a couple of one-loss teams. There's, you know, two, you're probably in a tiebreaker, which is tough with three or four teams. Maybe you don't get in that way. So right now, six teams are zero or one loss, and nine total have two or fewer losses. So the Big 12 race is still on. It's still early, right? We're not even. This is the halfway point of Big 12 play for BYU this game. So it's hard to go undefeated. Can you somehow limit that to one loss in the regular season? Now all your goals are still in play.
How about item number two, Jerem, a college football playoff at-large berth for BYU. Is that on the line depending on what happens against UCF tomorrow?
Similar answer in that I think BYU it needs to avoid having two-plus losses to get to the Big 12, to get into the college football playoff. The best-case scenario, Spence, is for the Big 12 is that BYU and Iowa State run the table, then both are getting in regardless of what happens in the Big 12 title game. Because if you're a Power 4 team with one loss, you have a great shot at getting in the playoff. I would feel great about BYU's chances, obviously, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, you're getting in at one loss.
But if you have one loss going into that game, you have to win the game. Otherwise, you're probably not getting in with two losses. Because there's going to be SEC and Big Ten teams with two losses that get the at-large probably over BYU. The thing with BYU's schedule this year, Spence, is that they will not have a quote-unquote great win unless it's undefeated Iowa State in the Big 12 title game. A top 10 win that kind of looks amazing. Right now, the Kansas State win is being perceived as just like this weird bounce lucky game for BYU. They won by 29! You don't luckily win by 29. That doesn't happen. I'm sorry. That's a garbage idea. But right now, the perception is that Kansas State or Iowa State are the best teams in the Big 12. And not BYU. It's because BYU is not blowing people out with explosive offense. They're doing it with defense. And the perception of that is dumb. I don't care how you win. The fact that you beat Kansas State by 29, that's one of the best wins in the country this year. And it should be perceived that way. Unfortunately, not.
Who's saying that BYU's win over Kansas State is not an extreme?
The AP voters. Why aren't they in the top 10 then? That win should launch you in there.
Are you kidding me? So will the College Football Playoff Selection Committee actually give credence to BYU's strength of record? Because right now, it's a top four strength of record in the entire country with that win against Kansas State headlining it. I don't know how. And frankly, if SMU keeps winning and BYU has a road win at SMU and SMU gets to the ACC title game, are you kidding me? Like, at what point do people stop trying to justify that, well, they're good wins, but they're not great wins?
Like, because it's SMU and Kansas State. It's not a blue blood. Those are newcomer,
man.
Right? I wish that those wins were perceived as better. And BYU doesn't have a great opportunity down the stretch of the regular season to justify itself again. If Utah was undefeated or one loss and in the top 10, that game would be sitting there. They are not right now. They are struggling. And they're trying to figure it out. UCF, 3-4. Kansas, 2-5. Houston, been meh this year, right? Arizona State lost last week. Otherwise, they might be in the top 20. There's not that game sitting there for BYU. So just win, and things will work themselves out.
I agree with you. BYU probably only has room for one regular season loss to have any sort of legitimate at-large berth possibility. But if they have that one loss and they get to the Big 12 title game and lose and they're 11-2, then they are very bubblicious. You know what? If you told me that I had to take 11-2 with an appearance in the Big 12 title game and BYU to be on the bubble of the college football playoff, I'm not going to complain about that.
No, but that would be awesome.
Like, to guarantee, that would be incredible. But to guarantee that they get into the playoff, it's probably one loss total. If you have two, even if you're in the title game, then it gets a little bit weird.
So basically, BYU has to be undefeated going into the Big 12 title game, and if they lose, one loss. And then if they win, it doesn't matter how many losses they had, right? One or two in a tiebreaker. So basically, you have to run the table in the regular season to feel like you will get an at-large bid. Because one means you don't at-large. You're going to win. You have to win it. So it's, man, it's complicated.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you told me that BYU was going to be 11-1 and go into the title game, I would take it right now. 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
I would take 11-1.
Why wouldn't we? Yeah. Now I would take 11-1. Because
sure.
I still think there's kind of 1.5 losses sitting there for BYU somewhere. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's undefeated. Let's go. But, like, it's just hard to win. BYU could very well have two losses right now. They could have lost to Oklahoma State. Could have lost to Baylor. If you don't pick off a pass, they go down and score a touchdown PAT. They could have lost that game. You have to just keep winning. And so far, BYU's done that. Okay, next one. A 10-win season. Is this on the line tomorrow against UCF?
No. BYU is still very much in play for a 10-win season, even if they lose tomorrow. This requires BYU to go 3-2 in the back five. Is BYU capable of going 3-2 in the back five games? 100%. I think that is a minimum, Jerem. I think that is the worst that BYU would realistically do. I do not see BYU losing three of the back five. They're going to find a way because they're too disciplined. They've been too consistent and too opportunistic at this point. I believe what they are. They have shown me what they are. And at worst, realistically speaking, 3-2 is the mark. So even if they lost tomorrow, they're going to find a way to win 10 regular season games. That is not on the line tomorrow against UCF. Do you agree with that?
That would be 10 wins would be the worst finish for a BYU team that started 7-0. But here's why it's okay. Because you're in a Power 4 league. It's just harder. You're playing quality teams down the stretch. Even Houston and Kansas that have struggled, like if they're in the old Mountain West with BYU, they're competing for the titles. Those are good teams, right? Also, by the way, BYU has discovered two things the last couple of weeks. One, the run game again. And two, they got, hopefully, the wake-up call against Ollie Gordon in that run game that they need to show up against UCF. Then you have a bye week. Hopefully you're 8-0. 7-1, hopefully not. But you take a breath. You have Utah. And you proceed. 10 wins would be awesome. I agree. It's not on the line tomorrow. BYU could absolutely still go 3-1 in the final four and be just fine in that situation. So, 10 wins, not on the line. Okay, our poll question is along those lines. Call your shot. Which of the following outcomes do you expect in tomorrow's BYU-UCF game? BYU win by 1-6 points. BYU win by 7+. BYU loss. At BrownJur4 on X. I think this is actually going to be a dominant win for BYU. Get that wood out of here. No need to knock on it. Then all of the pundits that predicted the BYU loss will say that a BYU beat a down-and-out UCF team. Keep creating excuses for BYU. As long as the Cougars keep winning, I don't really care what the narrative is around BYU that much.
Man, that idea contradicts a lot of opinions and conversations that I have had with BYU fans. Because what I'm gathering is they're absolutely terrified of this matchup and UCF's running game specifically because of what Oklahoma State just did to BYU and what UCF just did to Iowa State, not to mention the travel to the East Coast and all the history that goes into it. So this is a very interesting poll result thus far because I would say it does not equal what I have heard over the last 4 days. I think BYU fans are trying to manifest this thing. They're trying to manifest it to truth. Positive vibes, man.
Okay,
that's what's happening right there in the poll.
We got something this morning in our office that I did not expect. Steve from Pocatello, that guy, sent us these goggles. These are swim goggles. He said, glasses are not goggles.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wearing the blue goggles right now. Let me tell you my hottest take about tomorrow's game, Spence. BYU is going to outrush UCF, who's number 3 in the country, just like Colorado did. Blue goggles attached. Let's go. Also, these are pretty nice. I might actually use these swimming.
I'm so happy we have actual blue goggles.
Yeah, I might actually use these swim, then bring them back to the studio. Yeah. Okay, continue to weigh in, which, by the way, the leader in the clubhouse is BYU win by 7 plus points, 63%. So you think BYU fans are trying to manifest it. I am nervous about this matchup, but I think BYU will outrush UCF, which is a crazy take. I know that's Brian Logan level of crazy. As we continue, weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, with BYU clearly in the thick of this Big 12 race, Jaren, we move on in our conversation, and we go to the Big 12 rootables. So essentially, we're giving you the teams that you should root for this weekend to help BYU in this wildly unpredictable race, beginning with Kansas at number 16, Kansas State. The Wildcats, a 10-point favorite. They have won 15 straight in this series. Jim, you thought 9 in a row was batting at Utah? Look at Kansas. They've lost 15 in a row to Kansas State. Who's the team that BYU fans need to root for here?
Obviously Kansas, because if Kansas State loses another game, they're probably out of the Big 12 title hunt, especially against BYU, because BYU has the head-to-head there. Now, if they get grouped in with a couple of other two-loss teams, and that's all they have at the end, which, by the way, Iowa State, Farmageddon is the regular season finale. That is an amazing game. They could actually play like a bunch of games in a row because they could go to the Big 12 title game and open the season next year against each other. Kansas State, got to have the Wildcats lose.
Yeah, that more two-loss teams, the better. But I will offer this. Austin Colley mentioned that he wants future BYU opponents' hopes in the toilet. And he's looking at Kansas right now and saying, I want them to have no confidence coming into Provo on November 16th. Specifically, Jerem, if Kansas is already not bowl eligible, meaning if they lose to Kansas State and they've got a six loss and then they lose again before BYU and they're not playing for a bowl game, then I have no issue saying that BYU is going to win that game on the 16th. But if Kansas is playing to remain bowl eligible and they're desperate, that game on the 16th of November gets a little bit more weird. So even if Kansas State wins tomorrow, could help BYU because Kansas State maintains their status national and their national ranking. And then the Jayhawks, their mojo starts to really dwindle as they come to Provo in a couple of weeks.
I'm changing my mind. Kansas State needs to win the game. Here's why. BYU already has the head-to-head tiebreaker. Kansas State went out, beat Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then that win already looks great. You've already beaten that team. And then you're in the Big 12 title game again in a rematch on a neutral field. So I changed my mind. Yeah. I want Kansas State in
the Ema!
Okay, Cincinnati at Colorado.
This is a weird game. Colorado has like a pretty decent look at getting to the Big 12 title game. I want Cincinnati to win this game so that Colorado has two losses. Even though the Bearcats would only have one loss, they have a much more difficult schedule after the Colorado game, and I think the Bearcats will lose a game or two after playing Colorado. So I'm rooting for Cincinnati here to make things weird for Colorado and give the Buffs their second conference loss. You see it the same?
Yeah, I need to get Colorado kind of out of the tiebreaker scenario situation, get them piled up with the two-loss group because, yeah, Cincinnati will lose with Iowa State and Kansas State, both on the road, by the way, left. They will have multiple losses coming up.
Okay, next game, Utah at Houston. I don't think that there is any conversation really for a BYU fan about who
no.
who BYU fans are rooting for. And again, Austin Colley's method comes into here into play again too. No positive momentum for Utah going to their home game against BYU. If they lose to Houston, it's going to be really tough to sit on another loss as they get ready for BYU in Salt Lake City.
I don't actively root for Utah, like maybe 1% of the time. So, yeah, I know who pays the bills. Texas Tech at TCU.
I think I want TCU to win this game because Texas Tech is still a one-loss Big 12 team. Get the Red Raiders to two losses, get them really out of the way and in line to make a potential Big 12 title game run. So go TCU, and for the record, they're almost a 7-point favorite at home against Texas Tech, Jerome.
That's pretty weird to me because Texas Tech lost and gave up a bunch of points last week, 59-35 loss at home to Baylor. I would like TCU to win as well. I don't think TCU is a contender for the Big 12 title game. I think Texas Tech is a dark horse for it. So good luck stopping Taj Brooks. But he ran for 129 or something last week in the loss, so it didn't even matter.
Okay, next game, West Virginia at Arizona. Arizona has really struggled, yet they are a favorite against the Mountaineers, maybe because of that two-time zone trip that West Virginia has to make. who should BYU fans root for in this game?
I'm thinking Arizona because you don't play West Virginia this year. And so you want that win to look as good as possible. Can Arizona make a bowl game if they have a losing record? It's like, well, they beat them by 22, but they weren't that good. So probably Arizona.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Arizona here. I'd like them to get back on track and, like you said, bolster BYU's resume a little bit more. They've already won at Utah. If they can beat West Virginia, then they're in the thick of being in the middle of the race and making a bowl game, like you said. The more bowl teams BYU beats, the better for the Cougars' strength of record.
Okay, those are the rootables. Good stuff. Spence will check in with you in a bit. Okay, join us tomorrow, Spencer Linton, live from Orlando. We'll be there on BYU Sports Nation game day starting at 1:30 Eastern on BYU TV. Cougar pregame live at 1:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game on ESPN, BYU Radio at 3:30 Eastern. Then postgame on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Up next, former BYU and NFL defensive back Derwin Gray on BYU 7-0 start and how BYU can slow down UCF's rushing attack. This is BYU Sports Nation.
He makes a man miss. A batted up ball, a pick. Jacob Robinson! And the Cougs take the lead. And did he catch it? He did. Darius Lassiter. And a slap sack by Isaiah Banya. Martin shaking off tackle. Stiff arm. Touchdown!
BYU at UCF tomorrow. Huge game for the Cougars as they try and stay undefeated. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jerem Jordan. We'll check in with Spencer Linton coming up in a bit. But we now welcome in our favorite cornerback turned pastor. He'll intercept false doctrine quicker than any pass he picked off at BYU or in the NFL. It is the pastor, Derwin Gray. Welcome back, Dewey.
Hey, thank you so much. That was the best introduction I have ever had. I like that. Thank you.
I believe it. I really do. BYU 7-0, man. How you feeling about this season? And let's bring up that preseason, you did say you felt like this BYU team was going to be pretty special.
Yeah, you know, so way back in August, my inside information told me that this team was different, that they were built different. And so I'm not surprised they're 7-0. What I'm seeing, particularly on defense, is I am seeing execution. I'm seeing discipline. I'm seeing creation of turnovers. And you got to give Coach Kalani and his staff and strength and conditioning staff and all the NIL stuff, everything that goes into making a team, is this is a power four team. They look like it. These guys are big and physical. Our cornerbacks are long and fast. Our safeties are making plays. And on offense, if we stick to the formula, which is run the ball physically, we got a quarterback that can run, play action pass, we are balling. We got a quarterback that is doing some incredible things. The O-line, the running backs, and number five, man, what is it about number fives at BYU? If you wear the number five at BYU, baby, you are balling. And I can testify that if you wear number five, you are in a great tradition of long-term ballers. And the Kyle Morrell, myself, and I mean, Lassiter is getting up in there. And that dude might be All-American this year.
He is so long and active, and he makes plays, man. The last couple of weeks, he's been awesome. A career high 129 last week. And like you talked about, the special teams, you've got to make plays. In particular, I think about two games this year. At Baylor, if BYU doesn't pick off a pass on that last drive, who knows what happens? Maybe Baylor goes down, scores, wins the game. Last week, obviously, the offense has got to make a play down the stretch, and 35 yards out, Darius does. So what is it that you see that makes this team special? What is it that is built different?
So what I would say, number one, is they have a belief in the coaches. They have a belief in the scheme, and they have a belief in one another. And you can tell how they play. You can get 11 great athletes to play, but if there's not this cohesion, this chemistry, this collaboration, this trust. And so what I'm digging, particularly on defense, because I'm a defensive guy, is I like the fire zones. I like the corner blitzes. I like the 3-3-5. I like the physical stoutness of the interior guys. And that Kelly dude, is flying around. Number 16 is the second incarnation of Fred Warner on defense. The young safeties are making plays. And so I like the scheme. I love what they're doing. And I love how we're finding ways to win on offense. To me, if our offense can stick to the formula, run the ball, play action pass, quarterback run, big plays, we will continue on this trajectory of a remarkable season. And it does feel pretty good to have some insight at the beginning of the year to go, I'm not surprised, like this team is different.
I dare say football prophecy. Derwin Gray is on BYU Sports Nation. When we talk about tomorrow's game, this is a game that BYU's really got to play well in to win. On paper, you look at UCF, Dewey, and you go, hey, they've lost four in a row. This should be a win for BYU. This is a team that almost beat Iowa State and put up a bunch of points on what some people think is the best team in the Big 12. We happen to think BYU is here, of course. This is a team that runs the ball really well. What's the formula? What's the ideal situation for BYU to beat UCF tomorrow?
Yeah, so first of all, Gus Malzahn is a friend of mine. We just got done texting. Obviously, I wished him well. He's a good dude.
But not that well, right?
Not well enough to beat us. You know what I'm saying? So here's a few things that we have to understand. Gus Malzahn is one of the fathers of the spread zone read RPO offense. He developed it way back in high school in Arkansas State. So he knows how to run that offense. They're averaging 280 yards rushing a game. They're at about 170, 185 passing. Now, interiorly, they cannot run inside zone against us. We're so big, we're so physical, but like Oklahoma State, they're going to try to hit the edges. So it's going to be important that our DNs and linebackers play slow to play fast. In other words, squeeze down on the inside zone, be ready for the quarterback. We need to turn this into a one-dimensional game. If we're making Jefferson drop back to pass, we're going to feast. But you best believe UCF is going to come ready to play. They got close to beating the number one team, so to speak, in the Big 12. Other than us, they're tied with us. So they have some confidence. They're fast. So look for a lot of bubble screens. Look for a lot of outside zone, quarterback keeps, reverses. So we got to play discipline. We got to play fast. And on offense, we've got to use our size and pound the rock. I love the way Ratliff is playing when he's running a ball. He reminds me a lot of Brett Favre, like the ceiling is high and then sometimes the ceiling is low. If he can begin to continue to merge that gap, he's having a phenomenal season as well. He is the ultimate gunslinger, but he's learning how to manage this A-Rod offense. But man, we got to give it up to the O-line too. The O-line is doing work. They've had some injuries and they are straight up doing work, like grown man work. So we need to be physical. We need to be fast. We need to be disciplined. But most importantly, on defense, keep the formula going. What is that? Relentless effort, create turnovers, set our offense up in good position. Turnovers steal momentum. I'm all about the turnovers.
It's been awesome this year. 16 of them for BYU, 12 interceptions from 10 different players. The number four pass defensive efficiency secondary and team in the country. What's made you the most proud of this secondary in particular?
Wow, I tell you what I'm most proud of is you can take athletic guys and they can play. But when you take athletic guys and put them in a system and 11 men become one heartbeat, it's beautiful. Is beautiful. And of course, they're led by Jacob Robinson. Jacob, he's developed over the years. He's an NFL caliber player. He is the secret sauce. He gets them going. Micah Harper, even though he's had some injuries, he's still the heartbeat back there. We got some young safeties like DeMooney that are playing well, guys picking off passes. I love the length of our corners. The day and age of teams saying, hey, we're going to isolate BYU's corners and take them deep is over. We got some playmakers back there with some length and speed and confidence. And Jay Hill is designing some schemes and coverages that are lovely. I love them. Matter of fact, I wish I could have played in it.
He would have blitzed you off the corner a little more, right?
Hey, whatever he had asked me to do, I would have done. But D. Gray was going to come up with some picks, some hits, and touchdowns.
It's been fun to watch. And it was fun last week when we saw a different kind of win. And I was calling for weeks, hey, what happens when BYU loses the margin? Do they win that game? Can they overcome any issues there? And certainly they did. They give up a late touchdown. The offense drives down. How fast was the heart beating that last drive for BYU's offense?
Yeah, you know, so that win, and I was talking to Coach Kalani about that. When you can beat, even Oklahoma State's record is not very good. Their talent is very good. I mean, Ali is a first round running back. I mean, that dude, I mean, he is nice. So to win a game like that where you didn't play your best, but you're playing a talented team, and to have the composure, this is what I want the fans to understand. Learning how to win is the secret ingredient. How do you learn how to win? You have to have, number one, a focused concentration at the task at hand. You cannot play moments before you. You cannot play moments behind you. You got to be alive in the moment now. And our offense in that moment was alive. That play to Lassiter will go down in BYU history, but I think it's important for people to look at those big, nasty dudes giving protection to make it happen. Give the O-line their props. The offensive line is the key to the BYU offense. And that's what unlocks Retzlaff. That's what unlocks our stable of backs. That's what unlocks our tight ends. That's what unlocks our receivers. And you get the ball in those guys' hands. Roberts is an NFL player. Lassiter is an NFL player. Keenan is an NFL player. That little number 11 that be taking punts back 1,000 yards, he's an NFL player. So we've done a great job of recruiting, but I'm telling you, this team believes in each other, and that's what takes you to the next level, is when you look at your teammate in the eyes and there is belief that we're going to get it done, man, that pushes you through adversity.
It's beautiful, and BYU's playing great so far. Big win with UCF tomorrow. I'm also excited about the fact that we're going to be on the cruise together coming up next April. That's going to be a ton of fun, man. The guest list is loaded.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so first of all, when I was asked to be a part of Cruising with the Cougs, and I found out that some of my heroes are going to be on the cruise. So for people who don't know, when I was in high school, I didn't know much about BYU, but I would see this dude named Robbie Bosco throwing the ball all over the field. We get to be on the cruise with Robbie Bosco, and then I see Jim McMahon is going to be on the cruise. So I'm 53 years old. I've done a little bit some at BYU, but I'm a fan too. I can't wait to sit down and talk with him. Tom Homo's going to be there, who was instrumental in coaching me my sophomore year when I led the conference in interceptions. So many BYU legends are going to be on that cruise. And man, I feel like I'm a fan. My wife is going to be with me. She was on the BYU track team. She threw the javelin. We might see if we can get her to throw a javelin in the ocean off the cruise. It is going to be an epic time and celebration. Also, I have something special for the BYU fans that I'm going to give to them to show my love and support and appreciation. That's all I'm saying. You can't twist my arm. I ain't telling you what it is, but it's going to be awesome.
I hope it's one of your books. That's what I'm hoping for. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing the show live from the cruise, so let's hope the internet's working there. It's going to be great. Dewey, we appreciate the time. Best of luck on everything, and thanks for joining us.
Go Cougs!
And if you're interested in being on said cruise, BYUcruise.com is where you get more information about that. BYUcruise.com. Women's volleyball ranked number 21, ironically enough, with Utah, who they beat last week. On the road at Colorado tonight, you can watch that on ESPN Plus at 9 Eastern time. Well, which Cougars teams join the football team with tough road games coming up this weekend? I just mentioned volleyball, maybe a little hint right there in the video. We'll tell you after the break as BYU Sports Nation continues from Provo and Orlando.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B in Provo. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is in Studio Bounce House in Orlando, Florida. Spencer Linton. Let's get to today's headlines.
Beginning with this, Jerem, number 11 BYU football in the Sunshine State for that showdown with UCF tomorrow afternoon in Orlando. Pregame coverage begins at 1:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio, with the game kicking off at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio.
Cougars in the NFL. How about Puka Nacua last night off the injured reserve? Seven receptions, 106 yards, most of that before the fourth quarter in the 30-20 win over the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. Fred Warner and the Niners head to Dallas to play the Cowboys. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens head to Cleveland to play the Browns. Tyler Allgeier and the Falcons take on the Bucks. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams and the Saints play the Chargers. And Kingsley Suamatia, Andy Reid and the Chiefs take on the Raiders.
More Cougars in the NFL. Zach Wilson a week after visiting Provo for a win against Oklahoma State. He and the Denver Broncos will take on Brady Christensen and the Carolina Panthers. Kyrus Tonga and the Arizona Cardinals are in Florida as well to take on the Miami Dolphins. In fact, we're interviewing Kyrus after the game. We'll have that for you early next week on the show. Sione Takitaki and the New England Patriots host the Jets. Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, and the Green Bay Packers will face the Jaguars. Blake Freeland and Indianapolis take on the Houston Texans. Ryan Rico and my Cincinnati Bengals will host Philadelphia. And Michael Davis and the Commanders face the Chicago Bears. How cool is it to have so many Cougars in the NFL?
It's very cool. Number 21 women's volleyball looks to win on the road at Colorado tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. BYU won the first matchup this year, September 26th, in four sets. First meeting in Boulder between the two since 1994.
BYU women's soccer closing out their regular season tonight. Tough game at number 14, Texas Tech. BYU 5-2-3 in Big 12 contests. While the Red Raiders are 8-0-2 this season, you can watch tonight's game 8 Eastern on ESPN+. A tie here for BYU, and I think they're a lock for the NCAA tournament, Jerem.
Coming up after the break, what outcome do you think is most likely for BYU tomorrow against UCF? And today's Rise and Shoutout. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to a game day eve edition of BYU Sports Nation live from Provo in Orlando. Jerem Jordan and Spencer Linton with you. Let's talk about some other stuff going on in Cougar sports right now. How about this, Spence? Andre Ware, Heisman Trophy winner, last night on ESPN, gave Jake Retzlaff some Heisman love yesterday. Are you going that far right now?
I'm not ready to join Andre, but I like the idea that Jake Retzlaff is being undervalued. In fact, I'm not sure why at this point after BYU's 7-0 start and the numbers that he has put up, BYU fans are so slow to embrace that he is a guy who has taken a significant step forward. He's BYU's leading rusher 7 games into the season. That'll probably change tomorrow, but still, he's been able to get it done to beat some of those mental demons. He's 7-4 as a starting quarterback at the Power 4 level. Jerem, it's time to embrace Jake as a next-level quarterback. No, I'm not ready to put him on the Heisman train, but I appreciate the sentiment from Andre Ware that Jake is undervalued. How do you see it?
He is undervalued. He's coming off of his greatest moment. That drive was incredible, the 4th-and-8 throw to Chase Roberts, the 27-yard run, the 35-yard pass to Darius Lassiter for the win against Oklahoma State. Those were his greatest moments so far. We need a few more moments like that, I think. I think we need to see, you know, 10-plus wins from BYU and so on, and then people will fully put their arms around him. But for whatever reason, it hasn't happened quite yet, despite 7-0, which is pretty interesting.
Wild last night that Puka Nacua makes his return off of the injured reserve list. And instead of easing into things, Jerem, all he does is catch 7 passes for 106 yards in an incredible Rams victory over a very good Minnesota Vikings team. How much better was Puka's return than you thought it would be?
I didn't expect him to be targeted 4 times on the first drive. He dropped his first potential catch of the game, and I was like, oh, working the rust off, I guess. And then it was like, he set the sails from there. 3 for 34 in that first drive. Amazing game. So good. Terrible no-call of the face mask on Sam Darnold in the end zone for the safety at the end, but it seems like he could review that. How about LeBron tweeting about it? Good to see my boy Puka back out there tonight. Cooper, too. I am concerned as a Seahawks fan in the NFC West of what the Rams showed last night, beating previously 5-1 Minnesota. And so, yeah, Puka and Cooper cut back. A lot of trade rumor talk with Cooper. No. This team's a contender in the NFC West, and I don't like it.
It will never not be awesome that LeBron James tweets about Puka Nacua and calls him his boy. Like, that is so awesome and so validating for Puka to deliver. Yeah, I thought maybe like three or four catches, like they'd ease him back in, but no. It's just full go for Puka. He's in. He's throwing crack blocks and helping the run game as well to get Kyren Williams loose. Puka loves football, and it was fun to watch him do his thing last night.
Big fourth down block. Yep, as you mentioned, that's awesome. That was great. Okay, Baylor men's basketball announced a new camera angle for home games. Can we get rid of our neck braces that we had to have last year to watch games?
Yes, get rid of them. I'm so happy that they took the overwhelming feedback that it was a terrible angle and made a change. Well done, Baylor, for listening to basically every college basketball fan across the country and changing this and making it better. So, yeah, neck braces out. Just a normal college basketball watching experience on TV. I'm all for it, Jerem.
Now if you wear one, you're just wearing the cone of shame. Okay, our question of the day. Call your shot. Which of the following outcomes do you expect in tomorrow's BYU-UCF game? BYU wins 1-6 points, 24%. BYU wins by 7+, 64%. BYU loss, 12%. So people still feeling like, no, BYU's going to win big. I'm a little nervous about this game, but we shall see. All right, lead voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. BYU fan A on X. BYU's going to be hungry after last week, letting Gordon get hot to shut down the run, and the offense will take advantage of the UCF pass defense. 34-21 BYU. Now, that would be awesome. I say I'm nervous. I expect BYU to win. I expect BYU to, my bold prediction is outrush UCF. I still think this is going to be a tough game to win on the road. What's your vibe being in Orlando right now with this, Spence?
It's as simple as two things. If BYU can do two things, Jerem, I think they will absolutely win this game. Number one, can they limit UCF's rush game from almost 300 yards per contest to 225 or fewer yards? I know 225 still feels like a huge number, but frankly, they run the ball 67% of the time. So if BYU can hold them to 225 or fewer, then that's a decent number, and then win the turnover margin. Even if BYU is plus one in that category, you do that and limit UCF's rushing attack, they're going to win this game, and I think by a touchdown or more. Like, to those two things, BYU does indeed win by what the fans are trying to manifest, 7+ points.
My favorite thing about you being live on, like, the morning, the day before the game, is when the video board people show up and just are creating random noises to test out things. I'm like, did you just enter Pan's Labyrinth? What just happened? Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. We just talked about it, but how about Puka Nacua's return? 7 for 106.
Incredible. So happy to see Puka back and doing his thing. And when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago when he made a trip to Lavelle Edwards Stadium to watch BYU beat Arizona, he told me he was close. I didn't realize he was that close to returning to midseason form from an unbelievable rookie campaign. So happy for Puka.
How many fantasy owners played him yesterday? I don't think many expected him to play.
I did.
So that, hey, good for you, man. Good for you. Okay, BYU women's soccer, fifth place in the Big 12, looks for a second straight road win tonight. Tough game at number 14, Texas Tech, 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Coming up, he made one of the greatest catches in the history of BYU football against UCF in 2020. But how good is he at picking Big 12 games? Lopini Katoa joins us next for Big 12 Pick'em as BYU Sports Nation continues.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
What the standings look like in Big 12 Pick'em. Ashley Hatch, 4-1, the leader by win percentage, followed by the silver medalist Kenneth Rooks. Glenn Kozlowski did pretty good, third place there. And we now welcome in and talk about Big 12 Pick'em. Oh, by the way, three-game lead streak lead for me on Spence. That could quickly go away this week. We now welcome in the guest picker by looking back on one of the best catches in BYU football history. Here it was.
Wilson steps up, throws a little off balance, lofts it up. What a catch on the near side. Oh, my goodness. Lopini Katoa with the catch of the night.
Superman Lopini Katoa is our guest today, live from Orlando. Lopini, what up, dog? What do you remember about that catch?
What's up? I remember my ribs hurt a lot. But aside from that, it was a great memory. Great memory, great, you know, cherry on top to a fun season. Although we would like it to be a little bit funner than it was, but it was a great, great year, great memories.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was there filling in for Spence, and it was such a big win. It was huge. And what a win over UCF. We expect the same thing tomorrow, another win. Let's go. All right, time for Big 12 Pick'em. We'll have a game. All three of us will pick the game. Here we go. Okay, it looks like Baylor and Oklahoma State, a battle of 3 and 4 teams. Who you got, Lopini?
I'm going to surprise you guys here. I have some guests. I'm phoning a friend. I got the elders with me here in Orlando.
What's up, elders?
Elder Graw Rock.
What's up?
They're going to help me make my pick.
Situational awareness.
Obedience.
So for the Oklahoma State game, you want to tell them who we got, Ellen Lippert?
Yes, sir. We prayed about this one. We got Oklahoma State.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Okay.
State. Yes, sir.
Nice.
I'm not sure how to compete against that, if you're praying for it. But, hey, I'm going to go with Baylor. I think that they have some real momentum after a big win against Texas Tech last week. Jeremy, what do you have?
Baylor had put up 59 last week. Have they turned a corner? I'm sure hoping so. I don't know. BYU's beaten both teams, so either way, let's go. Okay, game two. Texas Tech plays TCU.
Elder Grawrock, who do we got?
I think we got Texas Tech, man. I think he's going to get it up.
These guys haven't been watching and reading about the games, which we know. They're good elders.
The boys in Lubbock. The boys in Lubbock. That just to protect their, what they're doing. They're inspired by prayer and my knowledge. So
that's a good combination.
Just a disclaimer there.
I'm going with Texas Tech, Jerem. Even though they're almost a 7-point underdog against TCU, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with Tech as well, all three of us on that one, so no saving the graphic. Okay, next game. Kansas State, Kansas, the Sunflower Showdown.
I got this next one. We're taking Kansas.
Oh, this would be a big upset. Nice. Spence, who you
Wait,
got?
I lied. Wow. I lied. I meant Kansas State.
Wow.
I'm too late. I'm just kidding. Kansas State.
You know what? We're rolling with it. There's no mistakes in life. We're going Kansas.
You're going Kansas with the upset. Who you
We're
got?
We're going Kansas. Hey, shout out Coach Stewart. We're going Kansas.
Right. Yes, AJ Stewart's there. Yep.
Hey. Wow. Okay. He likes Kansas to end the 15-game losing streak against Kansas State. I unfortunately do not. I think it's going to be 16 straight wins for Kansas State, Lopini. Jerem?
Yeah, Kansas State's only blemish this year is BYU. It's not going to be this week. I appreciate the aggression, though. There's really no consequences, Lopini. There are for Spencer and I. Okay, here we go. West Virginia at Arizona.
Another limper. You got this one.
All right. We picked Arizona for this one. We're going Arizona with this one.
All right. I'm going to go against that as well. West Virginia, I think that they figure out a way to make the two time zones of travel and get that win. The Mountaineers in a very close game get this win. Jerem?
I have Arizona as well with the Elders and Lopini. You know what? Battle of 3 and 4 teams. BYU's not playing West Virginia. We want Arizona to look as good as they can look, so let's go. Cincinnati at Colorado. This is a fun one.
Who we got, Elder?
I think we got Colorado. I think it's going to take the dub.
The Fighting Primes.
Going with Prime.
Going with Prime.
I wanted to pick Colorado, but for the sake of just being different and saving the graphic, if you will, I'm going with Cincinnati, and maybe it's because I want the Bearcats to win this game to give Colorado their second loss. Jerem, how do you see it?
I think Colorado's going to win. This is going to be the first of several losses for Cincinnati, as we mentioned, at Kansas State, at Iowa State, still on the docket, so their season's about to be over in a couple weeks. Utah at Houston. Say the right answer, Elders.
Hey, you know what? I'm taking this one just to protect these elders. But I want that holy war to be as hyped up as we can. So let me get Utah. The little bro, Isaac Wilson's there.
Whoa,
too.
Oh, we got a U in the car. We got a U in the car.
So, yeah, nobody's perfect. So we're not going to hold that against Elder Limpert. But we're taking Utah here.
Sorry.
I'm neutral, man. Neutral.
You got to rep your school. Just not on BYU.
I think the offensive coordinator shift and the job change there, I think there's going to be some natural juice for Utah and just some newness, and they'll take advantage that Utah wins at Houston.
Go Cougs. Last one, we got to hustle. BYU and UCF. Who you got and why?
BYU, UCF. That's no brainer there. Going with the boys in blue. and I don't need an explanation for that one.
It's easy.
Yes, it is.
We're all for BYU, Jerem, are we not?
Yes, we are, BYU. Thanks, Lapini, we appreciate it. Good luck, elders, hang in there. Remember obedience and situational awareness. Our thanks to Derwin Gray, Lapini Katoa, sorry, Dennis, we ran out of time.
Oh, good stuff. Shout out to Dennis Pitta as well, right, Jerem?
No, with no time for Dennis, sorry. For Spencer, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Darren Lambert. We'll see you tomorrow, 1:30 Eastern, for pregame on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Go Cougs! Stand defeated, please!